Hey, hello, greetings, welcome, Skip, Shane, Russ.
Yep.
Frank, yeah. Frank, yeah.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Okay, down to business. Where do I start?
At the beginning, it's usually the best place to start, darling.
Yes, but I've got so many beginnings. Well, no way. Grab one.
Give it heck.
There you go. Okay. Nuclear testing.
That's a good one.
I thought so. Okay. Why did India test nuclear weapons? Well, it's a little convoluted.
Well, it's not to find out if they can test them or whether they can have them.
It's more along the lines of saying, we have nuclear weapons. No. Most of the people around them do.
Pakistan does now.
Mm-hmm. Now, the logic behind their action.
What is the logic behind their action?
Well, the logic is that they have the ability to launch nuclear missiles. They also have the capability to launch
intercontinental.
Thank you. Intercontinental ballistic missiles, ICBMs. The ability that they have to launch nuclear weapons that have the capability to hit Shanghai or Beijing. Now, why would they select those two as how far they could reach to say that they're saying that they can reach either Beijing or Shanghai? Now, moving to one side a little bit, to one of their neighbors, China. China recently got a whole load of some technology for telemetry tracking and being able to launch into high orbit, supposedly to launch satellites. China has, for some time, had nuclear capability. Where did they get this technology from? Well, a trade deal was struck back in 1986 to help them in satellites placement after two satellites carrying two rockets carrying satellites from the United States blew up. Now, this is very unusual that there would be United States satellites on a foreign power's rockets, especially a hostile foreign power. Even though that there's been no conflict between China and the United States since Vietnam, they are still perceived as hostile. And China does have a track record. They also have a philosophy called the long view, that one day they will rule the world. And it's something they've been saying for the past 600-700 years, since they became aware of external countries. So, all of a sudden, China has this ability to launch nuclear weapons into high orbit and to select their own re-entry points to blast wherever. Now, this technology came from United States agencies or from a company that is a military contractor. Now, this military contractor donated $300,000 to the 1992 campaign for the president, for the Democratic candidate. Again, in 1996, they donated $400,000 dollars. And lo and behold, a waiver was signed saying that they could go to China and launch these satellites, which promptly blew up. And then another waiver was signed for them to aid the Chinese in this capability. In the meantime, Indian Secret Service gets hold of this information and goes, oh dear. And subsequently goes ahead and gives the information to their government, who develops a nuclear capability on their own with existing technology, buying here, buying there, and so on. So now they are a nuclear threat to China. China is a nuclear threat to them prior to this. And it would be difficult for China to hit them accurately without this telemetry, tracking, and re-entry capability that was given to the Chinese by basically Bill Clinton, by signing these waivers.
He signed them.
There's got to be a presidential executive order. In doing so, Bill Clinton has initiated an arms race in a very unstable area. Increasing more than at any time in your world's nuclear capability history in the last 50 years. Increasing the danger of a nuclear war, not by 10%, but by 100-fold. Now, Pakistan hears about these tests through their sources that weren't very well covered and gets very worried and decides to launch its own tests. In the meantime, India works very hard to develop the ability to launch missiles to hit China and anywhere else within a 3,000-mile radius. All because of somebody's lust for power and money. This nuclear race with these countries that are not exactly stable and have the tendency to react aggressively towards each other is now a serious threat on your planet. The chances of nuclear war are much higher than they've ever been. And a refugee from the 60s who protested American involvement in Vietnam, protested nuclear activities, is responsible by his uncomprehension, as I've stated in the past, of foreign international politics. Total incomprehension. Now, with other instabilities going on, and the fact that selling nuclear technology and rocket technology is very lucrative, with instabilities in such countries as Indonesia, which is very unstable. We will cover Indonesia in a moment after I've answered some questions. The tenuous problems created by the nuclear arms race in the third world countries, which is what it is now dangerous. Pakistan, China, India. Now, if there was a limited nuclear war, there would be a catastrophic worldwide effect. Because of the situation of these three countries, on the monsoon and jet stream pathways that they happen to be on, could be very dangerous and detrimental if there was a nuclear war. I'm not saying that there will be, and I don't perceive that there's going to be, not in the near future, but the situation in these countries is heightened because of this gross negligence. Okay, questions?
Me.
Shane, you had one.
Yeah. Bill Clinton signed a waiver?
Mm-hmm.
Was that to test the bombs on Chinese?
No. A waiver is saying that something...
No, what was a waiver for?
To sell technology, or rather to let a US company use Chinese rockets to launch satellites that the Chinese were incapable of launching. Next question.
Yeah, why is the ability to use computer simulation so important to the Indians and the rest of the world?
It's important because if you go around using the real McCoy, it's very expensive.
Right.
It's also, you can factor in more possibilities. If you launch a rocket on a bright, sunny day, maybe you're not going to be launching it on a bright, sunny day. Maybe it's going to be winds from the west for 5 miles an hour, from the east, from the south, from the north, from the northeast. Maybe it's going to be slightly overcast. Maybe it's going to be humid. Maybe it's going to be cold. Maybe it's going to be hot. Maybe it's raining. Maybe it's snowing. Who knows? But you can factor in all these factors into the simulations.
It seems as though that would be a deterrent itself. You never know what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously not.
No, if you can do it on paper but you don't have it, so what?
Okay.
This sounds like a bunch of little kids telling, hey, look at me, I can join the club.
Yeah, pretty much so. Pretty much so. Very stupid. And all because of one person's negligence, one person's desire for power.
Okay, well, why is it Tom Hayden plays such an important role in this? Or do you think I missed that part?
No. Tom Hayden is a very interesting individual. Very interesting. He claims to have allegiance to one group, but has allegiance to only one item.
Which is?
Can anybody tell me?
Wait a minute. He has allegiance to the same 60s politics that he had back in the 60s.
Claims to.
Yeah.
But he doesn't.
Would it be a special interest kind of thing, though?
No. He has an interest in one thing and one thing only.
Money?
Money. As most of the people from the 60s that are now in power, they have no interest in human rights. They have no interest in peace. All they want is money. To look good, to leave a legacy. And the only legacy that they're leaving is a nuclear arms race in an area where it's very unstable.
Okay, what is his role in this?
His role?
The protest? He couldn't have because they...
No, not really.
Through.
Not really.
He agreed then?
No.
He just ignored it.
He did nothing.
He just ignored it.
Which is the worst crime of all.
In other words, if you ignore something long enough, it'll go away.
Or bite you.
Yep.
And in this case, it might just bite. Mm-hmm. But it's nothing to be overly worried about. Now, the other side of the coin is, shock, horror, funding. Funding of governmental agencies. And a particular governmental agency that is supposed to be in the know, the CIA. The CIA has had its funding cut over the past few years. In fact, it's had its budget repeatedly cut since 1993. Shock, horror, they did not know about the tests until they happened. They did not know that it was coming. They were caught by surprise. They were caught with their underwear then.
Thank you.
Okay, questions?
Okay. First off,
go ahead. You're doing our
jet stream you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
has the ability to come through and affect the world.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that going to affect us? How does the jet stream from that part of the globe affect us? I thought that was down south. Or am I mistaken?
You're very mistaken. Okay. The jet stream does this routing. It's like a wave. Let us say there's a storm that brews off of the coast of Japan.
Okay.
Right? It goes up into the Arctic and down into the United States. Let us say Beijing gets hit by a nuclear bomb. It gets nuked.
Okay.
Right? Let's say by a small 50 megaton nuclear missile.
All right.
Okay. The way that the jet stream goes, if China's here and the US is here, with the jet stream, it blows this way, goes up into the Arctic, picks up moisture and goodness knows what else, comes down over Alaska, harming all those native Alaskans, all the way down into Washington, Oregon, California, and spreads out that way. Come in. Okay. So it does affect you.
So we'd get the radiation fallout.
Mm-hmm. Depends how big it is. And I think that if you were to drop a 50 megaton US ICBM on Beijing, it would not do as much damage as the one if the Indians dropped one. Why?
Because we've cleaned ours up.
Exactly. There's a dirty nuclear missile.
What happened to Korea? Create habit.
We haven't
heard about them in months.
Mm-hmm. Guess where plutonium came from?
Well, that does make sense then.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's painting a bit more clear picture of what's going on with that.
It's funny that nobody's heard about it recently. Everybody's forgotten about it.
Well, that was my other question. How come nobody's heard about it?
Goes back to a little bit of trade wheeling and dealing that I just covered. If you remember, I said that there were things that weren't clear.
Right.
Now, India has nuclear reactors. Obviously.
Oh. And so does Pakistan.
Mm-hmm. Now, the nuclear reactors are monitored as a matter of course. Everybody's nuclear reactors are monitored. So that they can't take, especially third world countries, they can't take the plutonium and uranium from there and make nuclear weapons. So there's only two sources that can give nuclear material. The former Soviet Union and the United States. Unless, of course, it comes through some other devious route.
Mm.
And as the former Soviet Union has fallen to pieces, well, there's one place. Where do you think Pakistan gets theirs from?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think India gets some of theirs from?
But India's been working with nuclear power for a couple decades, haven't they?
Mm-hmm.
So they could just use the what they had working off of just what their reactors were turning out.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't need any outside help.
Mm-hmm. But why draw attention to it?
But everyone's known Israel, or I mean, India's had nuclear weapons for years. No, Israel has nuclear weapons.
Mm-hmm.
The Arabs have nuclear weapons.
Mm-hmm.
India has had them. Nobody's just admitted to it at all. Now, finally, India's admitting to it.
Yes.
This is a political move.
Mm-hmm. For what purpose?
Well, one thing, to get more money.
No. Get China off their back that now has capability to hit them hard.
Like it did Tibet?
Mm-hmm. You see, it's very, very murky. Very difficult. Okay, let's move right along. Now, let's save that for next week. Okay, let's pick another strand. My pet topic. Anybody know what my pet topic is? No. Other pet topic. And I've been told to drop that one. Okay. Any more questions? No? Okay. Wait. Greetings and felicitations. Greetings, Russ. Greetings, Skip. Greetings, Shane. Okay, first of all, let us look at Tia's dissertation. Oh, my. She has touched some very hot subjects, hasn't she? Mm-hmm. I asked Tia to drop her other pet topic, as she would have probably gone on the tirade about pollution. And forest fires, especially the current ones. I think she would have got very upset and very heated very quickly. And she is shaking her head, saying, no, but I know better.
One ecological disaster after another.
Yes. You know how she feels about the environment. Mm-hmm. For somebody that has very little connection with your planet other than to monitor it and to receive information and compile information, she certainly has a very strong feeling about it.
In part for that same exact reason.
Because she cares. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, let me move along to a brief dissertation. Brief dissertation on self-control. Self-control is important for many reasons. Not just controlling oneself on an impulse to do things that one desires in a way that is self-gratifying. Self-control can be referred to many different aspects and parts of life. Controlling one's desires to do things that are non-beneficial, that are gratifying for the moment, and only the moment. Actions in development of a conscious control in advancement from a young age to great age is something that is continuous. Being responsible and achieving desired objectives without acting rashly is important in the development of all beings, regardless of whether they are male, female, or others, feline, canine, simian, or any other. All beings learn self-control for the reason that sometimes a lack of self-control can have very detrimental harms to not only themselves, but other individuals or areas, such as the environment. A failure to have self-control is something that is responsible for the falling of many societies and cultures throughout your planet's evolutionary history. The understanding that control is necessary to stop from acting in a harmful way is something that seems to be lacking more and more. And I feel personally that it is something that has to be reestablished, that self-control is important. Desires sometimes have to be put aside for a purpose of advancement. After all, if there is no self-control, there is no advancement. Any questions?
I have 10, but... Okay. First off, what about the ability to flow with a given moment? Even though it seems like you don't have self-control over the moment, flowing with it achieves the better result.
Not always. Not always. Sometimes if you flow with it instead of going against it, you end up further away from the objective that you planned. So therefore, if you were to say, no, I will control myself and go against the flow, you will achieve your objective sooner.
All right. In that case, I'm extremely confused.
Okay. Next question, please.
Okay.
One question, please.
Okay.
I guess I've probably exercised more self-control than most people throughout my life, trying to be accepted or please other individuals. By doing this, I think I've closed down my own will.
No, I would say that you haven't. Having your own free will and deciding to please other people is part of free will. You chose to do that. It is not closed. It is that you do not perceive the other avenues because you've decided to pursue that one avenue. A good way to look at it is instead of thinking, how can I please this person? How can I benefit them and myself? You're welcome. Russ?
Okay. You mentioned that a lack of self-control can harm the environment around you. What environment are you speaking of?
Look around you. That is what I'm referring to.
Your surroundings.
Correct.
Okay.
Next question.
Mm-hmm. So, you're talking about self-control and everything. So, like, you know how, like, UFOs are unidentified flying objects?
That is a contradiction.
Okay, well, a lot of people and government, whatever, say they saw them and they have evidence, but they won't show it to the public because they're afraid that they're not going to take it well.
Why? Well, it is too late to go back on what they decided to do. If they had, at a prior time, said, okay, we have been visited from outer space, we have these items, we don't understand what they do, but as soon as we land what they do, we'll let you know. That would have been a better approach. Unfortunately, they are in too deep. They are in over their heads now. There is no going back. Whatever happens, happens. Next question, please.
Well, Mal, there's a flip side to that, too. The technology they've learned from those artifacts and such has advanced our technology in leaps and bounds.
Correct.
So, therefore, there is a positive side to this also.
Yes, there is. To the extent that the technology that they have learned, they've had to reproduce, and in doing so, they themselves have advanced. So would it be better to hold on to what you have and say that it doesn't exist until you understand how it fully operates, or to give it out and say, we have no idea how this operates, which is better?
The first one.
To do it bit by bit,
mm-hmm.
Which is what they're doing.
Which is what they're doing.
It is something that they have lied so much that anything that they say is now taken with a pinch of salt. What they are doing is they are mixing truth and lie. The best way for lie. You take some of the truth and distort it.
It's still lying.
It is still lying, but it is a good way to lie. You've taken some of the truth and you change it. Next question.
The question about, I'm changing the subject slightly, the Toronto Blessing. Toronto Blessing is a phenomenon that started in Toronto, is now sweeping across America also, in which many people going to Christian churches suddenly start channeling and feeling the spirit of Jesus or the spirit of the Holy, whatever, taking over. And they're going into trances, they're going into convulsions, they're laughing, they're, and it's happening on a massive scale now.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you could maybe put it into a light that we can understand what's going on.
I'll give you one word. Millennialism.
Change of the century.
Change of the millennium. Next one up.
I have a question. I went to church and everything. I try to understand what they were saying. And I try to get involved with all this stuff. I do believe in God, but, you know, I understand what they were feeling, what they were doing, and everything. I try to ask questions and understand. And, like, I feel like I didn't fit in anything.
That is understandable. It is a belief issue. How strongly you believe in something. Believing in something so strongly that it overrides all rhyme and reason. It is something that they believe or appear to believe without rhyme or reason.
Say you believe in something. Like, you get, like, really excited about it, and it makes you feel different, right? Is that
correct.
What's going on?
Correct.
Okay, I understand.
Next question.
With the coming millennium,
mm-hmm.
are we seeing an actual change in consciousness then?
No more than is normal at the change of any millennium.
But that is a substantial amount.
Correct.
Okay. How do we take advantage of that or use it for our own personal growth?
By watching and observing and seeing how people react and interreact. But remember, the change of the millennium does not occur until it goes 2001.
So it's going to get even more intense.
Yes. Even though most people, 90% of the population of your planet, believe that the change of the millennium occurs from 99 to 2000.
Okay.
Shane, count to 20 for me.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20.
Okay. When did the change go from one group of 10 to the next group of 10?
In the middle.
At what number?
At 10.
Okay. So the number after 10 is the start of the next batch of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Beginning. That's the beginning of the next group. So let us start from the start of the decade, right? Okay, Skip.
Yeah, your decade would be not 90, but 91 would be the start of the 90 decade.
So does that answer the question that you were having of why 2001 is the start of the next millennium?
Yeah, that'd be correct.
Because it ends and it starts on that number.
Correct. Okay. Next question. Russ?
A long time ago, we discussed the future. And you said that a lot of the future would be determined by the people who believed in New Age consciousness. But actually weren't.
Mm-hmm.
and that they would have a lot of effect on the backlash from those who aren't into the New Age to those who are.
Mm-hmm.
And those who actually do and are into the New Age would be suffering because of that as a result.
Correct.
Is this what I'm discussing part of that then?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Next question.
Okay. Now I've got a question. I have noticed from my own experience that more and more people are turning toward they're not pulling away from God, but they're accepting God in a new way.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to teach us, I believe, that we are part of God because we were created by Him.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a correct conception or wrong? In other words, I'm part of my Father because he actually
supplied the genes.
That's right.
Or half the genes.
Yeah.
Yes, in a way you are correct, but it is a definition of what is God. What is God?
Well, from all the teachings I've learned in my life, and I'm in the second half of my life, okay, that God is a supreme being that takes care of all of us to a point. And he created us as brothers and sisters, no matter where we are in the world. That has no bearing on his creation. He's the spark of life on our planet, from what I can understand.
Yes. But the definition of God is that he is a supreme being of your planet.
Yes.
That is a correct analogy. It is hard to word it without going in too deep into theology, and theology is always a tricky and difficult area. Let's save this for another time when we have somebody that is a little